And good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. Hope you're doing well. I'm Scott Beatty along with Matt Daniels. It's a Thursday edition as we take you to 6 o'clock. Late night Illinois baseball again coming up. In just a moment, we will talk with Illini second baseman Michael Massey as the Illini are now going to play Minnesota tonight in the winner's bracket. Anybody who stayed up to watch it or listen to it, well, they were rewarded with a win 7-1 last night, Illinois baseball, and maybe securing their spot in the NCAA tournament. The editor of the News Gazette sports page on IlliniHQ.com is Matt Daniels. How you doing, Matt?
Good. How are you, Scott? Did you stay up and watch all of Illinois baseball last night?
I did. I had Dave Lone on the radio, and then I had the picture going, and it was
really
nice.
Was there a delay at all?
They don't quite sync up, but that's okay. Then I can see if one got... radio's ahead of TV, so I can see if Dave Lone got it right.
He usually does.
Yeah, he does. So that was a good... It was a good night last night. Michael Massey was good in the field, as were the Illini. We'll talk with him in just a few minutes. Coming up, John Woods. He's the outgoing athletic director at Central High School. Get some of his reflections on his time with the Maroons and what might be next for him and... maybe, you know, any messes he wants to leave behind for the next AD to come in and take care of.
I'm sure he won't do that. He's a true professional who's been at it for quite some time, and his presence will be missed here on the area sports scene.
And later on, we have a conversation with Nick Hardy from Illinois Men's Golf. They're ready for the national championship tomorrow. So a full show here for you. Let's start with what's happened in sports today. And we mentioned Illinois baseball tonight, 9 o'clock first pitch. Andy Fisher is the starter for the Illini. The lefty 6-2 with a 3.97 ERA. Righty Reggie Meyer goes for the Big Ten champion, Minnesota Golden Gophers. Winner will play Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Loser will have to play tomorrow night at 7:30 in the elimination bracket. Earlier today, Ohio State blanking Iowa 2-0. And Indiana walks off on Michigan State to stay alive 6-5 in extra innings. Chicago White Sox catcher Wellington Castillo suspended for 80 games by Major League Baseball following a positive test for performance-enhancing substance. The eighth player this year suspended under the drug testing program. White Sox also lose today 9-3 to Baltimore. They fell to Dylan Bundy, who struck out 14 White Sox and pitched a two-hit complete game for Baltimore. Cubs and Cardinals are off. The All-NBA team is out on the first squad for the 12th time. LeBron James is unanimous selection. James Harden, also unanimous selection, joined by Anthony Davis from New Orleans, Golden State's Kevin Durant, and Portland's Damian Lillard. And back to baseball. And baseballs, are they juiced? Well, they're not, according to a study released today by Major League Baseball, but still the aerodynamic properties have changed in allowing the baseball to carry further. That's according to Alan Nathan. He's a professor at the University of Illinois and is chair of this committee and says the baseballs are indeed flying further, and we don't know why.
Yeah.
We're going to actually have him on
exactly.
Tomorrow.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, Scott. He's going to be a guest here on these airwaves tomorrow to, I'm sure, talk all about the work that he conducted.
Be pretty interesting stuff. One ball that did fly farther than the fence was off the bat of Illinois second baseman Michael Massey, who hit a three-run home run last night to put the Illini up 7-0 at the time. The Illini go on to win 7-1. And Michael, when you hit that home run, I was relieved because I felt like then I could go to bed. How you doing? How did it feel to get one out of there at that ballpark?
I'm doing well, first off. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
A bit surprising to me, being there for practice on Tuesday, I didn't think anyone would get it out. I thought you had hit it 700 feet. I was just trying to, in the on-deck circle, Coach Hartlook told me to, visualize a pitch that I can get off of BJ Sable. And, I just kind of recalled my previous regional bid right now. So it was an intense game for us. And, a lot of emotions were flying high. So to finish that game and then come back and try to sleep was not the easiest thing. Probably took us to about 3 o'clock in the morning to get to bed. So unfortunately, we were able to sleep in today a little bit. So not too bad.
Is there a feeling now, there was some talk that a win over Indiana last night solidifies a spot in the tournament. Are you guys feeling that way?
Yeah, it's definitely a more comfortable feel for sure. But, you know, I mean, the best way to make it a comfortable Sunday is to go out and to keep winning. So, you know, obviously just going to try to continue what we've been doing lately and try to make a run at the Big Ten tournament.
How hungry are you for a shot tonight at Minnesota, a team you didn't face during the regular season, and they're the Big Ten champs?
Yeah, definitely. That's a matchup I'm looking forward to. They're a great team. Unfortunately, we didn't get a shot at them this year, so really looking forward to tonight and kind of putting ourselves to the test.
TD Ameritrade Park is a beautiful ballpark, Michael, and I know you guys want to be back there next month when the College World Series gets going, but didn't look like there are too many fans in the stands there at the end of last night, just with the late start and everything. How difficult is that to play in an environment like that at all, especially you think back a couple weeks ago when you guys had Ohio State here in Champaign, a great atmosphere and you know, a few thousand fans on stands. What's that like just playing in that atmosphere that was you guys had last night at all?
Yeah, you know, I talked about this actually with my dad a little bit earlier today. It was a little bit different, obviously, when you don't have all the fans there. But there's just something about playoff baseball that kind of gives you that extra boost and that extra energy. And that feeling was definitely there last night in the stadium, regardless of the fans or you know, how big the crowd is. I think the intensity of the game definitely helped keep the energy going.
Michael, I've seen some really good defensive play from you this year, and your middle infield counterpart in Ben Troike, he made some nice plays last night, as did you. And then also Bren Spillane, who, you know, is like got every record in the books, it seems, offensively, flashing the leather over there at first base. Are you ever like wowed by what your teammates can do defensively? This is a really good defensive squad.
I definitely was early on, but you know what? Like you said, I've seen it so many times. I've seen Ben, you know, make so many plays. I've seen Grant over at third make fair hand run through plays. And, you know, Bren is just Superman everywhere on the field. So, you know, it's almost more surprising when I see him not make that play. But, yeah, I mean, they're incredible. Our entire defense is incredible. You know, Zach Taylor tracking balls down in center field. You know, you got Jack and Doran on the corners who can go and get it. Jeff behind the plate does a great job. And even our pitchers, Quinn last night made some really nice plays as well. So I really like our defensive nine out there. So it's pretty cool to be a part of.
First pitch is slated for 9 o'clock tonight, Michael, against Minnesota. Now, normally you're not doing radio interviews a few hours before the game. What do you like to do to just get ready for a game? You got any superstitions, any rituals, anything like that at all?
No, not super superstitious, I guess. You know, just kind of like to get some time where I can pray and, you know, just kind of thank God for putting me in the situation that he put me in and giving me this opportunity to be here, you know, giving me the great teammates that I have and the great coaching staff. So, you know, just set aside some time for that and then just get ready to go as we get over to the stadium, kind of start the lock-in process during batting practice and get ready for the 9 o'clock first pitch.
Well, Michael, I know a lot of folks are going to be rooting for you tonight, and you rewarded the ones that stayed up late last night, so hope you can do it again. We really appreciate your time.
Looking forward. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, sir, Michael.
Michael Massey, second baseman for the Illini. And again, first pitch, well, the ball game that's supposed to start at 5 is a little bit behind, so we'll see if the Illini get theirs in on time at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, last night started, I think, 9:35 was the first official pitch, and I believe it ended 12:30 or so. I left the office here about 11:15 last night, and it was a pretty tight ball game. And by the time I got home and turned it on, Illinois was well in front.
All right, now I pulled these together for Michael. It was meant to introduce him, and I just got trigger happy and getting to his. So I still want to. This is the introduction here to Michael Massey.
Line drive caught by Michael Massey. The pitch. Massey puts a charge into one. That is back. That is back. That is gone. Tremendous. A three-run homer for Michael Massey. Oh, brother. Long Wednesday here in Omaha. Popped him up on the infield. Michael Massey, the second baseman, calls for it. Makes the catch, and Illinois wins. The Fighting Illini beat Indiana by a score of 7-1.
So that was some highlights from last night in Michael Massey and the Illini's big win over Indiana. Indiana advancing today in the elimination bracket. Winner, again, tonight will play Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And, boy, that would interrupt Lauren Tate and Steve Kelly.
Yeah, it's always fun trying to figure out this time of year with all the postseason baseball and softball tournaments that go on when the games are actually going to get played. But, yeah, it's crazy to think that Illinois could have two straight late nights, and if they're able to come out with a win tonight against Minnesota and get tomorrow, well, part of tomorrow off, because I'm sure tonight's game will end probably in the wee hours of Friday morning, and then get right up at them and have an early 9 a.m. game on Saturday.
When we come back, we shift gears. John Woods is here. He's here for just a little while longer as the athletic director of Central High School and the Maroons. We'll get his perspective on his stint here and what's coming up for him. Later on, our conversation with Nick Hardy from Illinois Men's Golf. Also, Todd Lindsay from the Illini Quarterback Club will check in with us about what's coming up for them this summer and ahead for this fall. So a packed sports talk here on this Thursday.
Ryan Barnhart here. Penny for your thoughts on WDWS 9 to 11 in the 9 o'clock hour. Open line conversation. Also a visit with a retiring Urbana soccer coach. And Flashback Friday, all tomorrow on Penny.
.525 Sports Talk. Scott Beatty, Matt Daniels with you on the on this Thursday. Glad you're along. A man who needs a whole new wardrobe soon is John Woods. He's the athletic director at Central High School. Got to trade in those maroon colors for some orange and black when you head up to Libertyville High School in the suburbs up there in Chicago. So I said, before you depart, we got to get you on the air here. A little bit of reflection time for you. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, school's almost out, but you still got some postseason stuff to do. So does it feel pretty busy still?
It does. You know, we hosted baseball regionals last night over at the U of I baseball field and had just a park-like atmosphere with Mount Zion and Rantoul kicking it off at 4:30. And then the Maroons hosted Muhammad at 7 o'clock, and it was a primetime game and really had a great postseason atmosphere. It was fun.
Yeah, baseball is perennially a powerhouse for you guys.
We've been pretty good. Coach Staub has done a great job and just really transformed the program and transformed as a coach, really. And I think that's why the program has been so successful.
So what prompts a guy that grew up here and has been an athletic director for a while and in this school system to jump ship and go up? I'm from the suburbs. You know, I don't know if you know what you're getting into with traffic.
You know, I could ask the same question. What prompts a guy from the suburbs to come down here?
Traffic.
You know, I don't mind a little traffic. I'm sure I probably have. There's no preparation you can do in Champaign for the traffic you'll see up there. The opportunity to go up north to a bigger school, focus on athletics, was really intriguing ever since last November and when the recruiting process began. And the guys that I know up there in the Libertyville area, actually in the North Suburban Conference area, is really what started my initial intrigue into the position. And of course, Randy Obermann, who's one of the interim ADs at Libertyville, reached out and met with him, met with Chris Davis out in Phoenix at the National AD Conference, spent an entire evening with him just learning about Libertyville. And then Bryant Kelly, who is their former AD, is now the associate superintendent. He and I have spent many years together. We were involved in the IADA together and sat on the executive board together. And my term as a president, Bryant was the president-elect, so we traveled a lot, presented together a lot, and just learned a lot about Libertyville. And little did I know that a couple years later, I'd be heading up there to replace one of my good friends.
Oh, that's pretty cool. John Woods is here. He's the athletic director at Central High School, at least for a little while longer.
And John, you've, like Scott said, grew up in Champaign, went to Centennial, worked in both schools at all. Just take us back to maybe when you first started as AD at Central and what advice you might give yourself now, that you, if you could reflect back on your starting point at Central at all.
You know, the best piece of advice I was given as a young coach, I was at St. Joseph Ogden High School. They had a Hall of Fame staff back then with guys like Jim Acklin and Jerry Huerdine and Gary Garrison and Randy Walken and Kathy Weiss.
Boy, if that athletic program could ever get back to those kind of guys.
Wow. And for a young guy, it was a blessing for me to be able to learn from them. And I remember asking him, you know, obviously being in St. Joe, it's a little different community than what I was used to growing up. And just asked Jerry if there was one piece of advice you could give a young guy from Champaign, and what would it be? And he said, John, you need to spend 80% of your time listening, and you need to spend the other 20% asking questions about what you heard. And I asked him, I said, when do I get to speak? He said, exactly. And so those 2 years I listened and learned from some of the greats out there, and the advice I would give myself 10 years later after I started coaching out there and started as AD in 2002 at Champaign would be just that. Listen, learn the community, learn the culture, and collaborate, work with the people that you work closely with.
What's it been like for you too? Because Central's had so many great athletic teams and so many different sports too, just in terms of the football run in 2015 to the state semifinals, boys basketball, you were part of that when they placed third at state in 2008, and baseball last year going on their kind of surprising run to state. What's it been like to see all these teams and coaches and athletes get to experience kind of the pinnacle of high school sports here in Illinois?
You know, I think all of those teams and individuals all share something in common. And you know, so often as I'm sitting here watching ESPN and LeBron James, and, you know, society is so focused on the outcome and the score. And all of those teams and individuals had, and coaches and kids and including parents too, really understood the importance of focusing on the process. And we believe that if you fall in love with the process, eventually you'll fall in love with what the process produces. And so those teams all had that in common. In addition, they had this hate to lose mentality. And baseball was a perfect example of that last year. They were just great competitors and were willing to work, roll up their sleeves and go to work. And if you look at all the great teams, as I'm sitting here looking at the Celtics and the Cavs highlights, I mean, they all have something in common. And that's they're willing to sacrifice for what's best for the team and not worried about individual accolades.
So what kind of program are you taking over in Libertyville? It's obviously a bigger high school.
Yeah, it is. About 2,000 kids in a community that's about 20,000 people. Their athletic programs are strong. They've got good facilities. They have 31 varsity teams, so I'm going to be learning about badminton and bowling and gymnastics and water polo and lacrosse, so it'll be a new adventure. It'll be a lot of fun, but there's great people up there, and they've got great coaches and great community support.
What's it going to be like for you next winter at all when Centennial Central meets in boys basketball, either at Combs Gym or at Centennial? I know you'll probably be kind of keeping an eye on it from afar, but who do you root for?
Man, I mean, you know the answer to that. I graduated from Centennial, obviously, but I bleed maroon for sure. And so I'll be watching my Twitter feed and hoping that Jane Stillman keeps me up to date. I know Floyd Fisher will be sending me texts and have plenty of people. It'll be fun. Certainly we'll miss those games, and there's nothing like Champaign Central and Centennial going at it in Combs Gym.
The first time you have to make a hire of a coach at your new gig, what will you take from your experience here to inform how you make a hire of a coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. Started working on that today, as a matter of fact.
Probably should have asked you that in the interview, just by the way.
I think it actually was an interview question on the committee of 25 or whatever it was I sat in front of. You want great people. You want people that want to work, that also understand the importance of having a philosophy, a firm philosophy, and understanding of the process, and also being able to define what that process looks like, and an emphasis on fundamentals and teaching the kids how to play the game, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what your scheme is if you cannot execute it, and it doesn't matter if you can execute it or what your scheme is if your culture is not very good. So those are three really important ingredients for me as we develop our staff. And the phone call that I made earlier, we talked just about culture and what you value. So I think there's a saying, show me where you spend your time and I'll tell you what you value. That's what we look for.
John Woods is with us, athletic director for Central High School. He is outgoing, headed up to the suburbs this summer. A couple of thoughts I wanted to ask you about. High school athletics right now, if you could snap your fingers and change anything, I mean, whether it be something in the game, one of the games, or a policy, is there something you'd like to see? I mean, I know the shot clock has been talked about for basketball, for example, or maybe you'd like to see, I don't know, practice rules be different, or I'm just kind of wide
basically
open here.
Basically, you're in charge of the IHSA for one day, John. What would you like to change, if you can?
I was reading an article the other day. I can't remember if it was on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, MySpace, Facebook, whatever social media venue it was. A school in Texas has implemented a rule. All 7th graders through 10th graders have to participate in two. If you're an athlete, you have to participate in two sports. And so for us at Central, there's been a huge emphasis on multi-sport participation, and if I could snap my fingers, that would be it. I think that, you know, when you read that 70% of all kids that participate in sport at an early age quit by the age of 13, I think that's epidemic. And I think a big part of what you see is kids specializing at an early age, and then they're burned out by the time they're 13, and they give it up. And if they're not burned out by the time they're 13, they're burned out by the time they're 17, they don't want to play anymore. And recognizing that sport is something kids play, it's not who they are, it's not their identity. Play should be fun, and if it's no longer fun and it's work, then it's certainly not something kids want to do. And so that would be it. Emphasis on multi-sport participation, and then figure out what you want to do and maybe focus on it a little later in your high school career.
What about the kids that are in a school sport but are also doing a club sport? I know basketball or AAU is popular. I know volleyball is very popular. There's travel ball for baseball and soccer and softball and those kinds of things. Do you like it when kids are doing those kinds of things too? Do you wish, is that detract from what they're doing at the high school level?
You know, it's a great question. You know, I've got two kids and our daughter's graduating on Tuesday, and our son is just finished his sophomore year at Michigan State, and our emphasis, we want them to be kids, and kids need to be kids, and all that includes. And if you're playing 154,000 baseball games in a year and 500 volleyball games in a year, I don't know when you have time to be a kid. And so at the high school level, as I watch baseball here and basketball on TV, I don't know if there's any data to support that kids that play year-round are any better. If they shoot the ball any better, if they hit the ball any harder, if they're any more accurate. I would argue that they're not. Mm-hmm. And so unless somebody can say that, well, I'm more accurate with my pitch, I can throw it 185 miles an hour, then why are we doing it? And let's let kids be kids.
John, can you take a phone call?
I'm sure he takes a few during the day. Scott.
Wait, was it my phone?
it's our phone. We have a caller here for John Woods, okay. Athletic Director at Central. Go ahead, Lou.
Hi, John. This is Lou.
Hi, Lou.
I've had two. How you doing, bud? I've had two daughters that enjoyed you as their athletic director in softball, track, basketball. And then one son who's currently a member of the baseball team and member of the basketball team. We're going to miss you. You've done an outstanding job. You're very respected, not only in the Champaign-Urbana community, Champaign Central, but I know you are also, because of your hard work, they've acknowledged you for what a great athletic director you've been for the program in the state. So we're going to miss you, John, and big loss, and a game for a Chicago school, but I appreciate you saying you bleed maroon. And as a Rancho High School graduate from years ago, it switched from purple to gold, which I couldn't believe. Now it's also maroon. So thanks a lot for everything, John. You're the best.
Thank you, Lou. You've been a great support and a wonderful family, and I'm certainly blessed to have the opportunity to somehow hopefully influence your kids, and just grateful for your continued support.
Now, I know next year, John, Central Volleyball opens up in Libertyville at a tournament. Are you ever going to schedule Central and say a football game 4 or 5 years down the road, something like that?
Football, probably not. Libertyville is a 7A school, and obviously with the growth at Champaign Central, there'll probably be 6A soon. But if you look at our basketball schedule next year, you will see that the Maroons will also visit Libertyville. Now, for the record, that volleyball tournament, we played there last year,
that's true.
Long before any of this ever came up. So it's kind of ironic.
Are you remiss that you are going to miss all the renovations and new facilities with the referendum and coming into play here?
Yes.
But you don't have to deal with all the construction.
Right. I can't wait to see the finished product. Yeah. I think it's exciting for the kids. I think it's exciting for the staff. And I think it's exciting for the community.
Yeah. What's the best part of it for the Central Athletic Program? Is it the new Tommy Stewart Field? Is it what's going to benefit the most?
You know, I think the best part is that the kids are going to have facilities that they can call their own and that they don't have to travel as far as they do every single day to go practice and go compete. So giving them something that they can call their own and something that they can take pride in is really important.
And you'll still have to deal with, obviously, football scheduling at Libertyville and your new role, too. And you've seen the Big 12 transform over your years at Central with, mm-hmm. with schools leaving, coming and going, things like that. The IHSA is kind of floating around this idea of districting for football purposes. What's it like for an athletic director when it comes to conference alignments and how much of a role football plays in those factors at all?
Yeah, football plays a huge part in it. Obviously, football coaches want to get 5 wins so they can get to the playoffs. It's a challenge, and you know, the Big 12 is kind of unique in that we range anywhere from 5A to 7A, mm-hmm. and so we got a tough league. And so I've seen it with 12 schools. I've seen the Big 12 drop to as few as 7, and, mm-hmm. and now we're back at 11. With the districts, for years I was opposed to it because I didn't think it was best for all the schools mm-hmm. in the state of Illinois. While it might have been best for us at the time, it wasn't best for everybody. And so if you keep that in mind in moving forward with this thing, you really kind of want to keep that as your North Star. What's mm-hmm. going to be best for everybody? And what's best for football may not be best for the other 30 or 20 varsity sports, whatever you may have at your school. So you got to keep that in mind, too.
Well, John, the district office called, and they said this serves as your exit interview. So we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That saved me some time.
Yeah. No, really, as caller said, you've had a big impact on a lot of folks. We really appreciate you reflecting a little bit with us. Wish you the best up there in Libertyville, and don't be a stranger.
Yeah, thanks for always answering our calls here as well.
Yeah, you guys have been great. You've always supported us, and you've supported the kids, and you've always answered when we've called, too. So. I really appreciate not only the professional relationship we've had, but also the fellowship that we've had.
Great.
So thank you.
Thanks, John.
John Woods, athletic director for Central High School, wrapping up his stint here soon. 5:42, that is. We come back, we'll hear a little bit about the Illini Quarterback Club, also a conversation with Illini golfer Nick Hardy. .546 now on Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels with you. Football still a few months away, but that gives the Illini Quarterback Club some opportunities to play. I just rhymed. I didn't really mean to do that.
That's good, Scott.
President of the Quarterback Club is Todd Lindsay. Our friend is with us to tell us about the upcoming golf outing. How you doing, Todd?
Good, Scott. Matt, how are you guys?
Good.
We're doing awesome. What's keeping you busy right now?
Nothing at all. I'm just kind of sitting around doing nothing.
The Cubs don't play today, so you can't watch them.
Can't
almost,
lose.
Can't watch them yeah. almost get no hit like they did last night, Todd.
Oh, no. It's brutal in here.
It's all right.
Brutal. It's hey, on I'm our show. Treat him nice.
I was just in a meeting, actually a quarterback club board meeting with Tim Knox from the football
I'm sure
program,
he rubbed that in real well.
He did, and I said, well, welcome to 500. You're finally over 500 now, so you should feel good about yourself.
Just always just reference 2016 anytime Knox, he throws that around, Todd.
You think I have to remember that? Of course I'll do that. My goodness.
Good stuff. Hey, you got a golf outing coming up. What's going on with that?
Hey, we do. This is the 24th annual Quarterback Club golf outing. It's the biggest single-day fundraiser that we have. Where we get most of our money to donate back to the program. So it's really important for us to have a good day, and we're hoping for it again this year. It's June the 4th out at the U of I golf course, the Orange Course in Savoy. And it's a full day, just like always. Really haven't changed much. Coach Smith and all the assistants will be there. This is one of the few opportunities that our members get to actually hear from Coach Smith and ask him questions and interact with him a little bit. So he's really good at the dinner. He really gets up close and personal with people and answers questions and talks a lot about the program. So you can tell it's a relaxed time of the year for them. They're just coming off the recruiting road and really enjoy themselves. So I hope a lot of people come out.
We asked him last year if he would golf, and he just winced at that. Any chance you've convinced him to get on the course?
Absolutely not. No, he's not, and I don't even ask him anymore. I just want him there to meet the people and to talk to some folks. So as long as he's there, I don't care what he does.
this down at Orange and Blue, right, in Savoy?
Yeah, it's on the Orange course in Savoy. The golf starts at 11:45. You can get out there a little bit early and hit some range balls. We have lunch provided by Dish Passionate Cuisine. It starts about 11, and then we'll play, and then we'll have a evening program, including dinner also from Dish Passionate Cuisine. We'll have an evening program with all the coaches and certainly Lovey. If you're a golfer, come on out for the whole day. It's only $125 a person. That gets you lunch, dinner, a couple of drinks, and the whole program. If you don't golf and you just want to come out for the evening program after work, we do offer that for $30. So you can have dinner, a drink, and then listen to the program. We got great auction items. People a lot of times participate in that. We got raffles, 50-50. We got all kinds of stuff going on.
And for Todd, for those that aren't familiar with what the quarterback club does, just explain kind of the mission of the group at all.
Absolutely. To me, it's twofold. The mission would be to provide financial support for things that fall through the typical budget cracks. So they'll typically come to us and say, hey, we need this. We don't have the money in the budget for this particular piece of training equipment or computer equipment or something to help the athletes, something to help the program. That's our mission, is to help the program financially. But it's also fan support. We also try to get our membership to be able to interact with the coaches and the players when it's applicable. The players come to a lot of the luncheons during the season, and people get to hear them talk and shake their hand. So it's kind of a cheerleader with a financial role is kind of how I like to put it.
Pretty cool. All right, June 4th is the quarterback club's golf outing, and more information at IlliniQBC.com. Is that right?
That sounds good. Yep, it's all right there. You can actually go onto the site. You can print off the registration form and send it in. Since we're a week and a half out, I can give out my phone number if people want to call me directly and get more information. My number is area code 217-493-9078.
217-493-9078. We're just going to keep repeating that throughout the rest of our program and throughout the rest of the week, so people really know your phone number. So,
hey. Well, Bob Osmussen already knows my phone number, so I'm not worried about him.
You're on the favorites list, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, Todd. Hey, appreciate it very much, all right?
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Todd Lindsay, heads up the Illini Quarterback Club. Okay, Illini Men's Golf in the National Championships. They will tee off starting at 1:15 tomorrow on the back nine down in Stillwater, Oklahoma, starting what's hopefully for them a grueling 6 days of play. Senior golfer Nick Hardy, I had a conversation with him yesterday before they got on the plane.
Well, hey, Nick, congratulations, first of all, on making it to another national championship. How does it feel?
Exciting. I mean, you only get four opportunities, and this is the last one for me. So, yeah, we're going to re-get it.
Take me back to the regional last day. You guys are in a very good position to make the cut that will advance, but I know you guys wanted to beat Oklahoma State. It kind of tailed off there, especially in the back half, it looked like. Does that sit in your mind, knowing that coming into national championships, if you get to match play, you can't do that? You can't tail off and win a national championship.
No, yeah, it's the best team that plays well over the course of whatever 6 days. I mean, you got to be on your game for 6 days straight. And, you can't have, a little mental lapse, or you really can't exhale. So you got to just keep getting at it. And I think we've learned, especially me and Dylan, over the past three years that, you got to be on your game for six straight days.
Is this the most grueling physically and mentally part?
Yes, especially, it's most grueling by far week of the year for any tournament. But because it's so long and you got to keep making cuts and keep making to match play, and then you got match play at the end, which is grueling. And on top of that, you know, the weather is going to be hot, and we got to make sure we drink enough water and stay, you know, hydrated. I think that's definitely a key this week.
Since you've returned from regionals and get ready to go, what has this week been about?
I think preparing mentally and physically. I think preparing our minds for what we're going to see at the course, and, you know, just a normal preparation. I mean, for any other tournament, we prepare the same way.
What is preparing mentally look like? Do you go through visualizations and that kind of thing? What are those exercises?
I think those exercises really help if you do them in order to control your emotions on the course, because obviously you're going to face adversity, and, you know, any golfer out there is going to face adversity, and it's the way you handle yourself, I think, preparing yourself to be able to handle anything out there.
You know, golf's unique in that you're sharing a lot of space with your opponent. You're walking with them, and especially if you get to match play and all that, what is that dynamic like when you're that close with your opponent, somebody you want to beat, but at the same time you have to be collegial with?
Yeah, you know, golf's obviously a different game. It's a gentleman's game. I think you obviously want to beat them pretty badly, but, you know, there's an element of respect out there, which is cool. But I think you know, it's a unique sport in that, but we're just going to go try to beat everyone's brains out. I mean, that's just how it is. We're competitive people, so we're going to go out there and, you know, have an edge.
What's your level of confidence at this point, having known you made it back, mm-hmm. won the Big Tens, you made your cut, wanted to play better, though, at the regionals down the stretch? What's your mental state?
Very confident. I think we had a great experience at regionals trying to, you know, beat the number one team in the country. We obviously didn't get it done, but I think we learned a lot, and I think everyone's games are starting to take shape.
One way or another, after a week or so, it'll be the last time you wear Illinois golf stuff for competition. How's that feel?
Oh, weird. I haven't even really thought about it yet because I, you know, try to stay in the present, but I'm definitely going to feel it this week. So hopefully we get to win it in the last one. That's a goal.
What is the next 24 or 48 hours like for you before competition starts?
You know, obviously we only get one chance to see the course, and the rule is only one practice round. So tomorrow's our practice round, and it's definitely got to be a focused one. And, you know, it's just going to be preparing just like any other tournament. It really honestly is just like any other tournament.
Nick, best of luck. Yep. Congrats again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Nick tees off tomorrow on the back nine at 159, the last of the five Illini golfers in the first round. It's four rounds in 4 days, and then the survivors go on to match play.
Cut down, they play Friday through Sunday, and then the top 15 teams based on stroke play advance into Monday, which is still stroke play. And then after that, they whittle down to the top eight, which starts next Tuesday. They'll have match play quarterfinals in the morning, and if you win that, you go on to the match play semifinals in the afternoon, and then the national championship match is next Wednesday afternoon.
All right, we'll be back to put a bow on this gift of a show in a moment. Okay, down the stretch we come here on Sports Talk and Illinois baseball tonight. Dave Lone after dark. It's a hashtag that's begun out there.
Jeff Huth out there as well.
Yeah. Ed Bond. Also happy to be out there at Omaha's TD Ameritrade Park. Illinois and Minnesota, it would be very bigly if the Illini got this victory tonight over the Big Ten champions for regular season. I think that would secure a spot in the NCAAs for sure. So tune in for that. And tomorrow, Matt Daniels, what do we see in the News Gazette?
Yeah, a lot of boys' state track and field coverage. Colin Likas was down in Charleston. He'll have ample coverage from that meet. Bob Osmussen's got a Illinois men's golf column on kind of the three unsung players on Mike Small's team this year and how they're vital for the Illini's chance to win an NCAA title.
They get it going tomorrow. Thanks to Michael Massey, John Woods, Nick Hardy, Todd Lindsay, behind the scenes, Tamara McDaniel, our producer engineer. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be back with you, The World According to Bob Osmussen. Also, Alan Nathan, professor of physics at the U of I, just was part of the big study that Major League Baseball did on whether baseballs are juiced. And we'll do good call, bad call. That's all tomorrow. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana, News Gazette Media Station at 6 o'clock. Good night.